There are many people who say they believe, but according to the words of Jesus, not everyone who says they believe will spend eternity with him. So how do we know who is really saved?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I am glad you are here for this. If you are watching on YouTube, you can go ahead and hit like on this video. Subscribe to our channel because we got podcasts that come out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. And this is going to be a great, great podcast for us today.
Yeah, so we'll just stir the pot today and get right on the edge of some things. So we've all heard and even read in the Bible verses that say that the way a person is saved, born again, secures a place in heaven is by believing in Jesus. And it's true. And many people have done that. And the recent survey of America revealed that 92% of citizens in America say they believe that Jesus existed.
Yeah.
That he was a real person who really did good things, really died on a cross, and really rose again.
Yeah,
they believe those things, but I think we'd all understand that not 92% of America is saved.
Yeah, saved, born again, spirit-filled, producing.
Yeah, making disciples.
Life changed, yeah.
So that just begs a question then.
Yeah.
Is it enough to just believe the facts that Jesus existed, that the Bible is even true, that Jesus died? That Jesus died for sinners, that Jesus rose again on the third day, that Jesus is in heaven, or that even Jesus is God. Is believing in that set of facts enough to save someone? Most people, I think, would say yes. That is what it means to believe. I believe those things.
Yeah. And repeat after me with this prayer.
Yes, yes. But then you come across verses where Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, him, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Mm. So Jesus is saying not everybody who recognizes that Jesus exists, Jesus
is Lord,
is God. Jesus is Lord
even,
and uses that title with him. He said they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So, okay, now we got a crisis of belief. I intentionally said believe, not belief, because you have this crisis all of a sudden, like, wait a minute. I thought that's all you have to do is believe that those things were true, and then you are saved. Well, now comes another troubling verse along with that is James 2:19, where he says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we have another class of created beings, demons, who believe those things. They believe that Jesus existed, that Jesus is real, that Jesus is God, that Jesus died for sinners, that Jesus was resurrected on the third day, that God's word is true, that God's word is powerful. They believe all those things. Yeah. So that didn't change them.
Yeah.
So then there must be something else besides believing, if you interpret believing as agreement with a set of facts.
Yeah, definitely. Like there, with this, you're getting the idea that just believing, or we could say just agreeing to, or we could say just acknowledging that God exists, that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, Jesus can forgive sin, does forgive sin, that Jesus exists, just to acknowledge these things. The Bible is God's word, that Jesus heals, just to agree to these things, that Jesus died for sinners, that God is powerful, heaven is real. Just because you believe, agree to, acknowledge that those things are the truth does not save you.
Yeah.
And that's an awkward thing for people who you've heard the verses that say, you know, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. And you're like, wow, just that simple.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Done. I've said that prayer before. I've done that thing before. That's it. That's great.
And then a lot of evangelism even comes down to, do you believe in Jesus? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, great. See you in heaven.
That's great. Yeah. So you have that aspect of things. And then you also have, hey, guess what? Even the demons believe and they tremble. So you have to have both of those truths to further understand the reality of the gospel, right?
Right.
And to just agree to, just acknowledge that those things are true does not make you saved, right? It just, the truth doesn't change demons. Just the truth doesn't change Satan. Just the truth, just acknowledging these things doesn't change people. It doesn't change their lifestyle by just acknowledging, say, yeah, that's a good thought. Yeah, that's a real thing. Yeah, I've heard people say that.
Happened.
Exactly. And that's the thing that is sad is that in a lot of churches, that is what Christianity has come down to.
Yes. Woo.
As long as we can get a bunch of people to agree that this is the truth, the end.
Yep.
That's great. People are saved.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to see that there actually is more than that because there are people who believe that, and by that I mean they agree to the truths.
Yep. Yep.
But it doesn't mean that they have peace with God. It doesn't mean that they know genuine, settled justification before God. It doesn't mean they have relief from their guilt. It doesn't mean that they're free from their condemnation that Satan, you know, throws at them and that they feel. It doesn't mean that they know life and a life that's full with God or love from God, love towards others, freedom from shame, freedom from addictions. It doesn't mean that people know that that area of Christian living, even though they agree to the truths.
Yeah. So what you get are churches, like you said, where there are people who have said they believe in these things, but their lifestyle doesn't match that at all.
Yeah.
They believe, but there's no behavior that matches it.
Yeah, exactly.
And hence we come to where we are as a nation today.
Exactly. And so again, you get a lot of religious people then who have in a sense kind of fooled themselves into being like, okay, whew, all it takes is me agreeing to these to this set of doctrine for me to be like fine, to me for me to be okay, and for me to like kind of shut that area of my brain
eternally
off
secure
as best I can. Yeah. And that's just not the truth. There's so much more to it than that. There's there's more life to be lived than just agreement, compartment, move on with the rest, right? There's more than just a religious thing to do. The, those same people are the people who read their Bible, they pray, they might even be church leaders. And this is where it gets heartbreaking, is because you have people who are now basing their standing with God off of the amount of activity they're doing and the amount of
knowledge.
Yes. And like the, what they're acquiring mentally and agreeing to. And I can talk about this stuff, but their life doesn't show.
And if they're leading in ministry somewhere, they're perpetuating it.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
making they're teaching disciples other people. Of that.
Yes. Yeah. This is the same thing. You just know a whole lot of Bible, listen to a lot of sermons, give a whole lot, teach a whole lot, go to church a whole lot, and you know, tell others about Jesus. That's great. Those are all good things to do. But just doing that stuff doesn't mean, hey, therefore,
Jesus,
you are saved.
Jesus would say about the most knowledgeable, religious-oriented people of his day, when you make a disciple, you make them twice the sons of hell that you are.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it was information about God. It was the scriptures up to that point.
Yes, it was following all of the traditions, all of the religious aspects of the day. And
and Jesus would go on and have some pretty hard names for those people.
Yeah.
He would call them whitewashed tombs, sons of the devil, hypocrites, snakes, all of that because they had believed the lie that just knowing and agreeing with was enough.
Yeah.
And with Jesus, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Just having outward behaviors that conform to or having a mental agreement with a set of facts does not change anyone's heart. Mm-hmm. And this is why Jesus was so saddened by, heartbroken by what was happening in Israel because their hearts were far from him in all the midst of that. So we really have to ask the question, so what does it mean to really believe and be saved?
Yeah.
If it's not just I give mental agreement to, then what is it?
Yeah.
So let's break it down into three things I think the Bible talks about. One of them is that a person who truly believes has believed the truth for themselves personally. And it's a different thing from believing something is true than believing it is true for me. Now, I'm not getting off into, I've got my truth, I believe this truth for me. Not that at all. But this is allowing the truth to penetrate. This is allowing the truth of the Spirit of God to become a reality in the deepest parts of me.
Yeah, and to make it actual application into your life, yes, rather than just knowledge acquiring, but you're actually applying it into your heart.
Yes. Yeah, they say, you know, the short distance from your mind to your heart, but it's the one that counts the most, you know,
yeah,
from believing here, and then confessing here is,
yeah,
really what,
absolutely,
we're called to. So this is believing that not only does God exist, but he exists and he created me.
Yeah. That's the personal application element of,
yeah,
God created,
yeah,
me.
It doesn't believe that not only is God's words true, but what it says about me is true, that I am, mm-hmm, a sinner without hope in need of a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's believing that I need Jesus to pay for and remove my sin. I believe the truth about that,
yeah,
I believe that Jesus died to pay for my sin, not just sin in general, but this heart that's in me, that, mm-hmm, thing that I did, those, mm-hmm, list of things that I did, my past failures, that was meant for me and for, mm-hmm, those sins, that Jesus was resurrected. Not just believing that happened, but that I have new life. That means my sin has been paid for, it has been atoned for, and I can have resurrection power in my life.
Yeah,
it's one thing to believe that Jesus forgives. It's quite another to accept that he actually forgives me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm big on going against the statement here. People say, I know he forgives me, I just can't forgive myself. Well, I'm going to say it one more time.
Yeah.
That is a fallacy. You cannot forgive yourself. Number one, you're not two people.
Yeah.
Second, you're not two people where one has more power than the other. It's often a statement that people make, but they live in the delusion of that and they never get free from it. I've never heard, yeah, anyone say, you know what? I finally forgave myself.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, who's Lord then? You,
yeah,
or you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so that Jesus forgives and I receive that from him.
Mm-hmm.
That's personal. That's what belief does. Mm-hmm. See, when the Bible talks about that kind of faith, the faith that saves somebody, it's always personal. Here's what Romans 10 says in verse 8. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And here it is. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's all very, very personal. If that,
yeah,
that truth exists out there, but it changes no one until it enters in and they believe it is for them. This is why no, yeah, demon, and this is why Satan is not saved,
yeah,
because they do not believe it is for them. They have, yeah, personally rejected it for themselves, though they acknowledge the reality of,
yeah,
it.
Ooh. So good. So good.
And that is terrifying to think that there are people sitting in churches today,
yes,
that are doing the exact same thing.
Yep.
They have acknowledged it in agreement mentally.
Mm-hmm. And even said it, confessed it.
They've said it out loud, but they have resisted it as a reality for their own heart.
Yeah,
they,
exactly,
are not saved if that's,
yeah,
the case.
Yeah.
Mental agreement never saved anyone.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
The second way we know that a person is really saved is that they turn from their old believing, their old belief. Acts 3:19, repent, therefore, and be converted. Turn away from that old way of thinking so that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. A person who truly does believe, they'll have a change that's happened in their life. They will lose that old way of thinking, those,
yeah,
old desires, those old patterns. They won't want to walk in that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mental agreement with a set of facts doesn't do that for anybody.
So good.
But when there's belief in a heart, that transforms a person.
Yeah. And not to the degree that it's like, oh, and therefore you'll stop sinning. You know, it's,
yes,
like, it's not like,
or you become by your behaviors perfectly righteous,
yeah,
you know, by,
yeah,
your actions.
It's not that. You'll know when someone truly believes whenever they stop sinning. And anytime you sin, you need to confess and repent and pray that Jesus would save you again. No, that's not what we're getting at.
Right.
There should be repentance, obviously, for your actions.
Yes.
But it does not have to be I hope God will forgive me. I hope,
right,
that Jesus will accept me. No, it's not that. But with believing, you turn from your old ways. And when you sin again, you are reminded that Jesus paid for this sin even,
yep,
on the cross, and, yep, now I continue moving forward. So,
yes,
it's not to the point of stopping sinning, but it is obvious in the way that they turn from,
mm-hmm,
who they were. They,
mm-hmm,
genuinely repent of the way in which they were going, and then they go a different direction.
Yes. And they will sin less than they did.
Yes.
It should be true, as we'll see here in just a moment. So the third way is a person who truly believes will have fruit and evidence in their life. Now, I realize this can get very subjective because it's, you know, who's measuring the fruit at this point and who's getting to determine the evidence. But the Bible makes it clear, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There should be an element of newness in their life, and there should be a part in which some things have passed away from their life. And then Jesus himself said, you will know them by their fruits. You will have some evidence that you will observe about them that will set them apart. That may take time. In fact, it will take time. A brand new believer will have some fruit in their life, but it's going to be different than the believer who's walked with Jesus for 10 years, 30 years, or 50 years. And it will take time to observe the fruit. It'll require them to go through seasons, just as fruit from the vine requires seasons. But real fruit shows up. The New Testament says that that fruit looks like attitudes. It looks like heart motivations, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. They're not perfected qualities, but they are fruitful qualities that began to be seen. And those are, they are the real evidential results of a person who has truly believed. Someone who has just made an agreement with a set of facts, but has had allowed no penetration of that truth into their heart.
Yeah, you've not been planted.
They won't have peace. They won't have genuine love. Yeah. They will not have genuine joy. Mm-hmm. They will not demonstrate that in kindness. There will not be demonstrations of self-control in their life because they have just agreed with a set of facts and tried to follow a set of behaviors. Mm-hmm. And that never saved anyone.
No.
If it did, so, then the Pharisees would have been the most saved group of people in the Bible.
Exactly.
And they were not.
Yeah. And there's the classic saying, of course, is you can know what someone believes by how they live, you know, like by what someone's life looks like over time. You can see, oh, that's actually what you believe.
Yes.
And I know that by how you've lived, you know, and so it's obviously it's the words put together for believe.
Believe you by live.
Exactly. You will. Exactly. And so I think of like when a tree is very small and it's been planted and it's new and it's in its earlier stages of producing fruit. It's not the first season. It's not like, oh, and here's a perfect, beautiful apple you can just pick right off and it's done. Yes. You know, it's like, no, it will show up in a very small little way.
Yep.
And then that season will go, another season will come, and then there's a little more fruit and a little bit bigger. It's a little bit better. And so that's the thing I think about, especially for young believers or people newer to the faith in this regard, is you can't be comparing the fruit that you are producing in your life to someone else's fruit and like then being like, oh, well, I must not be saved because I don't look like fill in the blank. You know, it's you got to understand what your life in your season and your growth as a believer looks like, and that there is fruit. That's the evidence, you know, and there's some other people who can look like they have fruit and, you know, hey, look at all this stuff, but that's not evidence they've been planted, born again. And so I just, that came to my mind thinking about the evidence of spiritual fruit.
This is not a new question for us. Obviously, in Jesus' day, he was raising the issue because there were a lot of people who looked who were religious and might have looked saved, but Jesus kept drawing the line. No, that's not what that is. That is something very different, and it goes on into the New Testament church. Mm-hmm. When John writes the First John, that's happening as well. There are people who give off all of the words and the externals of believers, but they're not having any of the internal fruits that come from that. So in 1 John, we find verses like these. Now, by this we know, this is chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Now, by this we know that we know him. This is how I can personally know that I know him. If we keep his commandments, if I am consistently, not perfectly, but consistently desiring to and following what he has called me to love my brother, to forgive, to show grace, to give mercy, to walk in righteousness, to listen to the Spirit, to obey the truth. He goes on, he says, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. That's John not playing it soft or safe right there. He says, if there's no evidence, consistent evidence in their life, that person is just fronting everybody. They're lying. They're not telling the truth. He goes on in chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. You want to separate it? Here it is. Whoever does not practice consistently righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Those are the two greatest evidences. He just puts it right out there.
Yeah.
You can say what you want. You can do a whole lot of things. But if you're not consistently obeying Jesus, if you're not consistently loving your brother, then you're not. All your words mean nothing. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said it in a verse that we mentioned earlier, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the ones who do, or the one who does my will, or the will of my Father in heaven. So greater definition for us then in what it means to believe. And the thing is, sometimes, as you mentioned, it does take time.
Yeah.
It does take time to see, because I can't always know. Jesus talked about the difference between the wheat and the tares, and to not pluck up the tares, because in time they'll be revealed, but you can't tell early on. John would also write and say about those who left the fellowship of the church back in his day, who were part of it, and then some walked out, and then people were left with, well, wait a minute, were they believers? Were they not?
Exactly.
They said they did. They said they believed, and they put on a look. And here's what John says. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us.
Yeah.
But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us.
Whew.
The real evidence of a person who believes is consistent,
faithful,
obedience over time.
Mm-hmm.
So that, from the Bible's perspective, is what it means to really believe by live. They demonstrate it over time. They live it out in their life, and it's seen. They know it, and others observe it in their life. Real believing is personal. It turns from old patterns. It has genuine fruit, and it stays with the faith.
That's so good.
And for that reason, Paul would write in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, to say, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith or not.
So good.
You should take your own self-examination and see, do I really believe, or have I just been agreeing with a set of facts and not had any life transformation?
So good.
So thanks for being with us today. I hope it helps you to examine yourself and know whether or not you are truly believing. So join us next time as we lift him up and live him out.